You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, as we start off December, last month of the year, sentiment not looking good. Market certainly indecisive. Perhaps it'll finish the year on a stronger note. But what's ahead? Employment, sentiment, confidence, all those things are interconnected. Let's talk with our good friend Edward Sedell. Ed, it's great to have you back on the show. So
thanks for having me, Carrie.
Hey, pleasure. And the numbers don't really look that bad right now. Employment is not super strong, but they're not shedding jobs yet at a record rate. But we know that generally employers start to jettison employees after the first of the year, somewhere between the 1st and 30th, and when a lot of retailers and other marginal companies go bankrupt. What do you think's ahead for us coming into 2023?
You know, first of all, you're exactly right. But yet at the same time, I mean, look at layoffs all the way across the board from, you know, these large corporations, Fortune 50 and Fortune 500 corporations in every sector. So we're already starting to see it. You know, I think last month alone, you know, there were over close to 150,000 layoffs just last month. And the majority of the layoffs, I believe, are going to come, you know, after the holiday season. You know, a lot of these corporations already know what everyone's been feeling, even though we've been told we're not in a recession. I think we've been in a recession, and it's going to get a little bit uglier after the first of the year, you know, as we have the devaluation of the dollar. We're becoming a victim of our own success, right? As we pumped all this money into the system, you know, over $4 trillion over the last couple of years, you know, we pushed that inflation all the way around the world because we don't make anything here in the U.S. So we're importing all of those goods. And as a result, you know, we were spreading our inflation around the world. As the value continues to devalue, what's going to happen is those costs of goods are going to go up. People can't afford them. They're going to continue to put money on their credit cards. And that debt bubble that we've been talking about all year is eventually going to pop.
And there's a certain inevitability to it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, when we're looking at it, you know, the politicians want to try to give you the worst possible news in the best possible light. That's what being a politician is all about. But
that's right.
You know, it hasn't collapsed yet by many accounts. And I've been waiting for it. You've been waiting for it. It hasn't happened. Maybe we're wrong and maybe they're right.
You know what? I hope I am wrong. But when you look at the numbers, right, you can't just surface the numbers. You got to really dig down deep into it, you know, to get the whole story. You know, the market was way, way, way over leveraged. The report came out from FINRA and the New York Stock Exchange, you know, at the end of January through December 31st of last year that said, you know, accounts were margined, you know, over five times more than they were during the housing bubble. So that's why, you know, the market was overbought. You know, there's oversold, people are over leveraged. When you have that correlation in the market where everything's going up and everything's going down, it becomes a race to liquidity. So, and there's a direct correlation between that and all other consumer debt. As a matter of fact, the Fed said last month that we hit a all-time record high of debt of over $16.5 trillion. And we added over, I think it was 1.26 or 1.27 trillion in consumer debt, mortgages and revolving debt in just 1 year. So, you know, everyone was looking at, okay, well, people are buying more, you know, they're spending more. I mean, look at Black Friday, all these numbers are really good, but it's not that they're spending more, but it's not because they're buying more. It's just everything is costing more. You know, you've got housing, the sale of housings are, housing sales are down. Everything is really starting to kind of slow down a little bit. But these jobs numbers, they've been pumped up And it's not because we have a thriving economy. It's just the 22 million jobs that we lost over COVID, you know, they're just getting filled back in again. And so I think next year we're going to see a real slowdown as far as the jobs numbers go. And I, you know, that's why it's going to be a tough year next year. You know, we could have a Christmas Santa rally, but it's going to be short lived. I think it's just going to be another bear market rally. And it's going to be tough going into next year.
So I guess we can affirm that you're a believer that we're certainly in a bear market now. But don't you usually make your money being a contrarian? When the rest of the world thinks we're in a bear market, stocks climb on a wall of worry, right?
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, this isn't where, you know, hey, run for cover, everybody, you know, go 100% in cash. You know, I think it's more of, you know, depending on your risk, your situation and everything else, I think there's going to be some really good buys. There already are right now, but I think there's going to be some really good buys January, February, March of next year. I mean, just look at Amazon and Microsoft. You know, some of these, you know, really good companies that have a really good balance sheet, even Apple, you know, that are really undervalued. There are already some good buys going on right now, and I think they could get a little bit better. You know, right now, I mean, if you look at gold, you know, that's some of those precious metals, you know, as the inflation goes up. I mean, there's some really good strategies that you can employ right now, but it's all got to be based on your situation, you know, and how much risk you're willing to take.
Yeah. Well, hey, without risk, you don't get profit, right?
There's no reward. That's that. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, I just remember my old law partner used to say, Kerry, the situation is hopeless, but never serious. Are we getting to the point where it's hopeless and serious here, Ed?
Oh, you know, I don't believe in, you know, the sky is falling kind of mentality. You said it best, contrarian, right? You've got to be cautiously optimistic in times like this where, you know, if you have the plan in place, you know, you can find those really good buys and come out ahead, you know, as compared to the, you know, everyday person who's, you know, trading on fear and greed, you know? So it's, you gotta be a little bit more meticulous and understand really what's going on to take advantage of it.
So when you look back at this mess in 10 years, all right, just let's pretend that everything's already happened. What do you think is going to be the situation, the economic outlook?
You know, that's a great question. You know, so let's do this. Let's go back in history. Go back to the tech bubble and then to the housing bubble. It's every time the sky was always falling, right? We've never seen this before. It's the worst, you know, it's never going to happen again. And, but if you employ the right strategies in play, you're going to come out ahead. Just like those people that, you know, if someone says, take me out of the market, I want to go 100% in cash and just leave me there. You know, you're going to miss the boat. Now, in the same respect, if you're retired and you can't afford to take that risk, then you shouldn't be. That's why you've got to have the plan in place to take advantage of what's going on. Because looking back 10 years from now, I think this year, not this year, 2023 is going to be the year where people are going to make their money. It's just like anything else. It's like real estate, location, location, location. Right. You got to pick the right location and where you want to be. And it's the same thing when it comes to your portfolio.
I'm glad you brought up real estate. All right. So real estate, I find fascinating. Obviously, rates are going higher. In certain markets, prices are weakening. In others, they're as strong as ever. Places like Florida, Texas, Colorado, Denver. I mean, it's just out of control. Tennessee, Memphis, and particularly Nashville, basically low tax states.
That's right. Even Arkansas.
Yeah, even Arkansas, right? I mean, Little Rock, it's really strong. People are still buying. Right. And we don't see, even though I've read about it, I haven't seen anything to indicate that rents are weakening. And can you have lower real estate prices if rents aren't going down?
Don't just survive.
Thrive, the Financial Survival Network.
Torque Resources is an exploration company establishing a portfolio of premier copper gold early stage projects in Chile. Torque's management and technical teams have a strong track record of raising capital, discovery, and monetization of exploration successes. The company's Margarita Copper Gold project is located within the prolific coastal Cordillera belt in Chile, which hosts some of the world's largest and most profitable copper mines. The Margarita project possesses excellent discovery potential for a major copper discovery due to the strength of the alteration system, large-scale magnetic targets, and the presence of copper oxide mineralization. Drilling is anticipated to begin in Q3 of this year. Torque trades in Canada under TORQ and on the OTC under TRBMF. To learn more, go to TorqueResources.com. That's TorqueResources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
I think you can, because I was just talking to somebody yesterday about this, and, you know, out in Colorado, Fort Collins, you know, their rents just went up 31% on the new lease. And the problem is that people can't afford the houses, you know, the $500,000 house, you know, based on what people could afford for $500,000, you know, based on 6.5-7%, they're looking at maybe 3-3.25. So people can't afford the houses that that are out there right now. So the only other option is to rent. And, you know, it's supply and demand, because the demand is so high and the supply for rentals is so low that, you know, people can charge. You know, you got to remember, too, over the last couple of years, you've had these big corporations, the Airbnbs, that were, you know, investing and buying all these properties, single family dwellings, you know, in all these neighborhoods. And so they kind of locked up a lot of that inventory as well. So, I think it's not only a possibility, but it's a probability. And I think we're already starting to see it.
All right. So you're coming into the market. You're visiting yourself, if you will. Mm-hmm. Say I got $250,000. Wouldn't that be nice? To invest, where do I put it? What do you tell that person?
You know, right now, I love energy. Energy is great. I love gold. I mean, it's up significantly, you know, since its lows earlier, just since September to August. And I think that's going to continue to go up. You know, in the conservative play, you know, to kind of hedge your bets a little bit, you got to face it. Let's look at the one-year treasury, you know, paying 4.7%. You know, just to get a little bit of a bump. And like I said, I think there's some really good value plays, value stocks. That's really what we're looking at going into January and February. High dividend paying stocks or those types of stocks is really where it's going to be at. The growth stocks, I think they hit their heyday. I don't see them coming out until the end of next year.
Hey, well, growth stocks, the whole concept is under the implied understanding that there is growth, and nothing grows less than a growth stock in a recession, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And value, right? I mean, what people need, you know, Johnson & Johnson, you know, Lancaster Colony. I mean, all these companies that people are going to need no matter what is going on in the world. And, you know, look at the balance sheets. You know, a lot of these value companies, they're really strong. And I think, obviously, no pun intended, that's where the value is.
Okay. Look at Exxon. They're paying out a 3.3% dividend.
Absolutely.
Energy, to me, and short of a complete global implosion of the markets, which is politically unfeasible, it can't be allowed to happen, but that doesn't mean it won't, obviously. Energy prices, they're going to keep printing money. Commodity prices, they're going to go up. But energy, it's built into the equation that they're going to pay dividends. At some point, hey, look at Nat Gas. Nat Gas was a redheaded stepchild of the energy industry in the United States. Granted, it's down to the high $5 range right now. But it was up to 11.5, I think it hit at one point, at least 10.
And that's the last I saw. Yeah.
So Nat Gas really could be the crown jewel of it all, huh?
You know, it really could. And, you know, the reason I like energy right now is, you know, as gas prices are going down, energy costs, you know, the stocks are kind of taking a little bit of a hit over the last couple of weeks. They've been pretty volatile up and down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at our oil reserves, they're, you know, at the lowest they've been, you know, since 1982, 83, something like that. Right. And if we keep exporting the way that we are, you know, those oil reserves are going to be gone by this time next year. And so, you know, as that oil reserve continues to dwindle, you know, I believe what's going to happen is, you know, that the cost is going to go up. I think it's going to be a cold winter. And next summer, I think prices are going to skyrocket. And right now, that's why I really like it. And I think it's a good play.
All right. I'm a huge bull on energy. Saw this coming long time ago, caught nat gas at its bottom. You know, it's just a couple short years ago, dry nat gas was like under $2 per MCF or BTUs. And now, and you had tens of thousands of shut-in wells across the United States. Those wells are no longer shut in, Ed.
Yeah. And, you know, and when you go back and you look at what the prices were just 2 years ago and where they're at right now, the demand has not diminished. It's actually increased. And even though there's a slowdown in the economy, and, you know, where goods and services, you know, whether it's by rail or by truck, you know, we still need that, you know, the diesel costs and energy and everything else. So I think the demand is going to be there. You know, even if you did something as simple as, you know, the XLE, the energy ETF, you know, I do like the individual stocks. But, you know, those, some of those energy ETFs, those are really good safe play. Well, I don't want to say safe, but, you know, you kind of get that basket all the way across the board, even like Oxy, ExxonMobil. I mean, there's a lot of really good companies in there. But again, energy, I love it. I think it's really going to serve us well over the next 12 months.
All right. I'm with you on that. And you get paid to wait.
And you get paid to wait. That's right. That's right. Can't beat that.
Yeah, so I really like energy a lot. Hey, so how much cash do you keep for the coming year, Ed? What's your take?
So right now, I mean, depending on, you know, the risk budget or profile of our clients, you know, we've got anywhere from, you know, we're sitting on probably 53 to 30% cash. Because I think that the buys are there and, you know, we're going to need that much cash to take advantage of.
Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. Ed, we want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web. How do you do that?
Just look us up, egsifinancial.com.
All right. And the link's in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for your free newsletter. Ed, been a pleasure as always. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks, Kerry. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.